This morning we will be looking at Revelation chapter 4. The title of the message is The Supreme King and Creator. Let all heaven and earth worship him. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to do some worship here this morning. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, you know, put upon us a spirit of worship this morning. Help me to lead the people in this message, understand true worship, you know, of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Lord, bless the message again in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 4. Now, just a quick review. We did the first three chapters before, and we covered the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, how he revealed himself and his appearance and so on to John on the Isle of Patmos. And we covered that the message to the churches. And we also talked about the hidden manna. You know, there's something that God wants to bring to us in this book of Revelation. You know, there is the standard bread, but then there's also the hidden manna. You know, so as we go through this, we believe that it's God's going to give us hidden manna to help us prepare for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Now, that's what it's all about. It's the preparation series. Remember, we called it the preparation series at the beginning. Now, Revelation chapter 4. Remember, also, always go back and listen to those messages. Just preach the message one time and you forget. It's not good enough. You've got to go back, especially those messages on rewards. The rewards of the overcomer and the rewards that Jesus will have when he comes. We talked about that when we went through the message of the churches. You know, so, you know, he said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. Amen. To give to every man according as his work shall be. So the Lord is going to reward us according as our work. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After this, I looked. Hallelujah. And a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, I want to go back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19 at this point and read the instruction that John was first given. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So there are three categories of things in this revelation, this whole revelation for 22 chapters that John was dealing with here. He said, the things which you have seen. So he's looking at something. Well, he saw the revelation of Christ walking among the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars in his right hand, and all those various things that he saw. And then he said, you know, the things which are. So the present things in John's day, the things that were present in his day, the things which are. And then he said, the things which shall be hereafter. You know, so, you know, we've talked about some of those things, but the rest of this teachings will be focusing on what he classified as the things which shall be hereafter. Hereafter for the day of John. Now, some of those things may already be happening, but most of it is still hereafter. You know, so that's what we are going to focus on, the things which are to be hereafter. Now, so we go back to Revelation chapter 4, and the voice told him he saw a door in heaven. Now, I want to point something out, that from the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we see several messages to the churches and so on. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to what? To the churches. Now, from the book of Revelation chapter 4, clear on through the rest of it, we don't even hear the word church anymore. You know, it's a different dimension that we see, and so for various things that God begins to show. But there is, you know, he doesn't use the word church again throughout all those places and so on. You know, so it seems to me like he's done talking to the church. Now he's going to tell us the things that will happen perhaps after the church were to leave. You know, so let's take it from that perspective. Now, we see also that there was a door open in heaven, and he said, come up hither. You know, and that may signify or be symbolic of the translation of the church. Now, remember, the book of Revelation, we covered this at the beginning when we did the introduction, is written almost completely in symbols, and there's symbology. And we read the scriptures where it said, I will speak to prophets and symbology and so on. Now, so there was a symbology there of come up hither and I will show you things. You know, so now if John were representing the church that would be translated or raptured, as some people call it, it appears as if, you know, when it goes up, they can see some things that will happen afterwards. But let me go into the main part of this message. Immediately, Revelation 4:2, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now, this is the real part of this message. This whole chapter is revealing something about the essence of God and what it's all about. Amen. 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 There was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, the splendor of his glory, the wonders of his majesty, the things that we're going to see in this chapter and everything around his throne and the activity and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of things going on around the throne, you know, and we'll see all of the things that are represented, the symbolisms and so forth. We want to try to bring that out so we understand what's going on here. Now, the first thing that he noticed was there was a throne set in heaven. So, and this throne caught his attention. And then as he looked, he saw that there was a figure that was sitting on the throne. Well, let me jump into this right now at this point and say this about this throne. From the beginning, Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, from verse 12. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, from verse 12, verses 12 through 15. From the beginning, this fellow called Lucifer, he was actually called the son of the morning. You know, and God elevated him. We know him today as the devil, the old dragon and so forth. But at one time, he was actually a very elevated, you know, spiritual being around the throne and so forth like that. You know, but we see that from the very beginning, Lucifer rebelled against the throne of God. So I'm going to read it to you here. Let's read quickly, Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, thou which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, if you put it up quickly, I can read it. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. Keep the children quiet, please, because we are recording the message. I will ascend to heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You will never, devil, be like the Most High. Amen. I got news for you. But the Lord said, no, but thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the very sides of it. I love to say that to the devil. He doesn't like to hear it, but I love to say it. He's going down to hell. And he's going to the sides of the pit. And he will never be like the Most High. Now, that was his first mistake, to say, I'm going to exalt my throne. You know, so he rebelled against the throne. You know, he didn't want the singularity of God's sovereignty. He said, I'll be like the Most High. Why is it only God? Why does it have to be only God? I'll also be like that. God said, you will never be like that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, till today, people have been rebelling against the sovereignty of God. Now, the atheists and the agnostics, they like to do away with the throne of God. They say, there's nobody in it. There's no such thing. And so forth. Now, the humanists, they want to put a throne there, but they want to put a human being. They want to put themselves on the throne, and they believe that they control everything about their own lives. See, that's the difference between agnostics and humanists. And then the Trinitarians, now notice that, the Trinitarians try to put three people on that throne. Hello, folks. We got very quiet in here. There was one that sat on the throne. Hallelujah. You cannot put three people on that throne, folks. There's one that sat on the throne. And he's going to describe to you what you see. So there's been this great rebellion and misunderstanding about the throne and the sovereignty and sovereignship of the Lord, you know, but we're going to bring it out here. Amen. Book of Revelation chapter 4, let's go back to verse 3. He talked about he saw one figure on the throne. Now, he's going to describe what that figure looks like. Now, I want you to also notice as we read this description, it is not describing the similitude of God. Because God never did that for anybody. And God didn't let John even put that down. You know, because people will start saying he looks like this and so on. No, it's talking about his glory and his essence. Now, he that sat upon the throne was to look like as a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about his throne inside, like unto an emerald. Now, he never said, you know, that, you know, he was 6 foot tall or this and that and so forth. No, it was just the glory was what caught his attention. Now, he that sat on the throne, not they that sit on the throne. Amen? Hello, folks. He that sat on the throne. Now, singular. And round about the throne, there were some lesser thrones. There were some lesser seats. You know, there were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting. They were clothed in raiment, and they had crowns upon their heads. We're going to talk to about what these beings mean. Let me read the rest of this quickly. And out of the throne, and these are some of the things that caught his attention. You know, there's a lot of activity. There's wondrous things happening. Out of the throne proceeded forth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Remember, in the book of Revelation 3 and verse 1, when Jesus announced himself to that church, I believe it was Sardis, he said, you know, I'm he that hath the 7 spirits of God. Amen? That's right. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel in the church of Sardis, write, this thing saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God. You know, so, you know, I'm not going to go into what that is right now. That's not my message for today. Maybe someday we'll come back to that. And before the throne, I'm back to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now, whether it was a real sea or it looked like a sea to John, but the thing we know is that it looked like crystal. You know, he looked at it, it looked like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, there were 4 beasts. You know, another translation says 4 living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. Now, these living creatures, well, one of them was like a lion, the second was like a calf, and the third had the face of a man, and the fourth one has like a flying eagle. Now, all of these things, the lion for strength, the calf for, the lion for kingship among animals, the ox for labor, and all of these things, you know, and, you know, the face of a man, the wisdom of man in there, the flying eagle, and all of the creation is represented here by these living beasts. And the 4 beasts had each one of them 6 wings. So if you go back to the book of Ezekiel and so on, you know, this might have been cherubims or cherubic beings. We don't know. Whatever they were, they caught his attention. They had 6 wings and so forth. They had eyes within and they rest not. One thing I want to bring out here is one thing that they do. They rest not. Everybody say rest not. They rest not day and night saying, now this is what's going on in heaven, folks, all the time. All this activity and so forth, they are not keeping quiet, folks. They are saying night and day, and I want everybody to say with me, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is, and which is to come. Hallelujah. Now give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. That's right. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. And that's what they say in heaven, night and day. They do not stop, folks. They just magnify him. And he just sits there and he enjoys the worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just like the devil, anybody that tries to take away his worship, they will go down to hell. And they will go down to the sides of the pit. But the Lord, he will sit on the throne. Hallelujah. Now, God is revealing to John here, make no mistake about it, who sits on the throne. There's only one, folks. And he sits on the throne. And when we get to chapter 5, I cannot wait to get to chapter 5 in this series. Because, you know, you'll see some more things. But right here, they are worshiping him. And when those beasts, those living creatures, that's verse 9, when they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne and liveth forever and ever. Notice there's another group now that's going to support their worship. When these living creatures, when they begin to give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, then at the same time, those 24 elders fall down. Hallelujah. Before him that sat on the throne. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Now, I want you to say with me, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord. Wave your hands and say it with me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. He has created all things. In case you are wondering who that is, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. The book of Colossians chapter 1 will reveal to you who this great person and personage is. Hallelujah. He says from verse 13, but at verse 15 and so on is where I'm going, but just a little background. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? You want to see God? You look at Jesus. Amen. He is the image. You cannot see God. He's the invisible God. The only way you see him is through Jesus Christ and his word. Amen. For by him, he's talking about Christ now. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created for him and by him. Hallelujah. Woo! Now this ties right into Revelation 4:11. All things were created for him, by him, and for his pleasure. Hallelujah. Even the wicked for the day of destruction. That's what the Bible says. And the devil for hell. Amen. He's going down there too. Praise the Lord. Now, so look at him. And he is before all things. Verse 17, Colossians 1. He is before all things. Amen. Let's go back to Colossians 1:17. He's before all things. And by him, all things consist. You cannot find anything outside of him. Amen. In fact, everything is inside his belly. Even this great universe, the Milky Way and the super galaxies and so forth, it's all inside God's belly. Amen. You cannot escape him. As Psalm 139 tells you, no matter where you go, he's right there. You can't get out from, he's the one that's holding everything up. Amen. Now, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning. He's the beginning. He's also the firstborn from the dead, and that he might in all things have the preeminence. Hallelujah, somebody. For he pleased the Father that in him, that's Christ, should all fullness dwell. You're never going to find it anywhere else. That's the way the Father pleased to do it, and it's in him all fullness should dwell. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Revelation 4. And we see all this activity happening. We see all of these things. You know, whether it's angelic beings, cherubic beings, and all these living creatures that represent now. These creatures represent everything that's in heaven and on earth and anywhere else. And the four and 20 elders, the 24 elders, they represent those who were redeemed, you know, from the earth among God's, you know, creation, the people. So we see that whether it is things in heaven, say, for by him were all things created, whether in heaven, whether it's dominion, whether it's things present, whether it's things to come, it's all by him. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, even all of the, you know, elders and so forth, you know, when they see, you know, first is the cherubims and so forth, and they're doing all this thing, and then the elders are following suit. But I want you to notice one thing. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 4. Let's look again at verses 10 and 11. Hallelujah. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Today, people can't even fall down before the Lord. I mean, we're so arrogant. We're so everything. We got so full of ourselves and so forth. But look at what they are doing in heaven, folks. You know. And if you want to make it there and be doing the same things, better get some practice here. Amen. Amen, folks. Get some practice now. Otherwise, some stones might cry out if we don't do it. I'm not going to let any stone take my place. Will you? Oh, yeah. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship him. Now, the 24 elders, they fall down and worship him that liveth. And they cast their crowns. You know, now, if you give somebody all the glory, and you give somebody all the honor, and you give somebody all the power, then they deserve your crown as well. Amen. That's right. So they cast the crowns. You cannot be in the presence of God with a crown on your head. Hallelujah. And should I get any praise, let it go to Calvary. Oh, with his blood he has saved me, and with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. You cannot take glory for yourselves, folks. Anything. You say, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you, Lord. And these folks, they understood and they cast their crowns. Paul said, anything that I have achieved, I call it but dung. That's another word. I can't even use that in church. I call it but dung. Anything that I have achieved is nothing when I come to his presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like to say it this way. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the train of God and his glory, Isaiah said, great prophet. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the glory of God. Now, that's what the presence of God does to people, folks. He makes you see that you are worthless in his presence. Amen. Now, when somebody says they've been in the presence of God and they brag and bake their elbow like this, they have not been in his presence. When you be in his presence, you will say, I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. I am not worthy. You cast your crowns down. Anything that you think you have, you put it down before the Lord and you will worship him. Hallelujah. And if you have not learned to worship him like that, you haven't known his love yet. It is the love of God that compels us to worship him. It's not even the magnitude and the fierceness of his wrath. Well, that's for later. It is his love that compels us to worship him. When you receive his love, when you experience his love, you will want to worship him. You will want to give him his glory. Now, if there's anybody in here today, and you don't know how to worship him in truth and in spirit, maybe you haven't experienced his love. We're going to give you a chance to experience that love today. Because when that love comes into your heart, you will worship the King. You will worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You will cast your achievements down in His presence. There was a man. Hallelujah. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 to about 37, there was a man called Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel was explaining the image in the dream, he said, "Thou, Nebuchadnezzar, you are a king of kings." Not the king of kings, but you are a king of kings. Because the God of glory has given you many things, kingdoms and everything. Hallelujah. They called him king of kings. Call him, "You are a king of kings." Say, "You are that head of gold." And he begins to describe it down through the ages. So that thing finally got into Nebuchadnezzar's head. So one day, he strutted his stuff, you know, walked in his palace. Hallelujah. Well, let's hear what he said. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verse 29. At the end of 12 months, this Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" No, you did not. Hello, folks. God gave it to you. But he forgot that. Now, in the same hour, while the word was still in his mouth, there was a decree from the holy watchers, folks. Now, you don't want to get up against those holy watchers because they'll put you down. They will put you down. If you, one time, Herod, in Acts chapter 12, he made a speech. Everybody said, "Oh, it's an oracle of God," and this and that, spoke like an angel and so forth. He gave none the glory to God. One of those angels sent by possibly the holy watchers struck him like that, and he died on that spot in the middle of his glory. Birthday celebration and making speech and doing this. Right there, God knocked him down on his head. Now you better give glory to God. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, quite unlike what we saw in Revelation chapter 4, this man thought he had done it by his own power. And that God would show to all the sons of God yet to come after Nebuchadnezzar, he allowed this story to be in the Bible. And the same hour, God said, "They will drive you from among men, and you have your place among beasts of the field until seven times pass over you. And then you will know that God ruleth in the affairs of men." Hallelujah. You will know that God setteth up whosoever his will, even the business of men. God can set anybody up, folks. He lifted up and he bringeth down. He maketh alive and he killeth. He does all these things. He is the Lord. And let all the earth fear before him. Amen. So when Nebuchadnezzar had gone through 7 years being like a monkey in the bush, you know, with whiskers and everything and so forth, God allowed him to come back. And listen to what he says. Verse 34. "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever." This is what he should have done in the beginning. "Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth," folks, all the inhabitants of the earth, "they are reputed as nothing before the Lord." I don't care who you are. You are nothing before the Lord. Amen. And he does what he wills in the armies of heaven. And the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand. And no one can say unto him, "What doest thou?" Give the Lord some praise in the house, some people. Come on, somebody. Give him some praise in the house. Nobody can stay his hand, folks. Nobody can say, "What doest thou?" Hallelujah. You are worthy of it all. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet here this morning. You are worthy of his. Praise team, come on back and help me with that song. Hallelujah. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. While they are coming up, let me finish the rest of this story while you are standing. Listen to me. Hold on just a minute. Let me finish the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar, he finally gave the glory to God of what he should have done from the beginning. But that was after the decree of the holy watchers put him down. And then he said at the end, now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are done in truth. And his ways are judgment. Now listen to this, folks. Hold on the music for just a minute. Listen to this, folks. And all those that walk in pride, he is able to do what? He is able to abase. Anybody that walks in pride. Let me tell you what real pride is. Some people say you are proud. No. Pride is when you don't give all the glory to God. Pride is when you don't give for your achievements. You don't allocate all the glory to God. And you take some for yourself. That's pride. And all those who walk in pride, folks, God is able to abase. But those that humble themselves before him in worship. We're not talking of false humility and so forth. No, those that worship him, humbling themselves before him in worship, recognizing his sovereignty, accepting that and knowing that he is on the throne, he is able to lift them up. Amen. Now lift your hands up here and the praise team will help me sing that song. You are worthy of it all. Everybody sing together. Lift your hands up and worship him.
You are worthy of all.
From
you, I to you are. You deserve worthy of it all. Oh, you are worthy of it.
Now, if you are in the house this morning and you want to experience his love, perhaps for the first time or maybe in a new light that will make you to worship him like this, I want you to come and worship the Lord today. And if there's somebody that says in the house, I want to worship, I want you, Lord, to give me the spirit to worship you like these folks that know how to fall before the Lord and know how to cast their throne, come and worship as well. Hallelujah. We're going to give that invitation right now. And let me repeat that. If you have not yet experienced the love that can make you to worship God like this, that is in this chapter of Revelation 4, I'm going to make an opportunity, leave an opportunity for you this morning. Come and publicly receive that love into your life. And if you have received that love and you understand it, but yet you have not known how to worship him like this, there's an opportunity. There is an imbibing of the spirit of worship that God's going to bring into some folks here today. And if that's you this morning, I want you to come forward and worship the Lord. And when they sing this song again, I want those that truly want to worship, I want some real worshipers, come forward as we sing this song. You are worthy of it all. Come on. Now, all over this place today, I want us on our face or on our knees or whichever way you are going to worship the Lord. Unless you are disabled, and if you are, God will heal you. Nobody should be standing or sitting. The Bible says, let us kneel, let us bow before the Lord and worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing that song one more time. Cast your crowns before the Lord and worship Him. He deserves it all. One more time, softly this time. You are worthy of it all. Praise Him. Go ahead and let's sing. And everybody all over this place, sing along with us. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Give Him the glory. Give Him the praise. You are all things. Unto you are all that you have ever achieved. The Lord lifted some of you from nothing. And look at where you are today. The of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. Let us pray. Wherever you are, just lift up your hands before the Lord. And let's worship Him together. We worship you, Lord King, the Supreme King and Creator of the ends of the earth. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the power. Thine is the majesty. Thine is the dominion. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth and anywhere else is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor and lifting up comes from you, Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. And in thy hand is might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord, receive our praise. Receive our glory. Receive our thanks. Thank you for revealing your love in our hearts. Thank you for making us to understand it. Thank you for putting in us the desire to worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And as it is written, Jesus said, God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Make us, O Lord, one of those true worshipers. Not only while we are at church, but every day of our lives. And even when we are at church, because we see corporate worship in Revelation 4. It was corporate worship. They all did it together. It's good in church. It's also good on our own. And we want to thank you, Lord, for this revelation. We give you, Lord, all the praise. Receive all the glory, Lord. Now, I want everybody to take a minute and make a personal prayer of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Acknowledge Him for anything that you have ever achieved. Any accolade that anybody ever gave to you, return it to Him. He deserves it all. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Pour out your heart before Him, even in worship and in thanksgiving. And those living creatures, they give glory and honor and thanks to Him that liveth and reigneth forever and ever. And when they do that, the 24 elders, they fall down before Him and they cast their crowns. And they say, you are worthy to receive it all. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.